end of the chapter, and then I got there solely. So the system here will tell me who's next in line to speak. But I think Glenn's name's not on it at all by the look of it. But welcome remarks. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on the item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Have we any apologies? Councillor Tinley and Councillor Selena Murphy? He's running late. Okay. And just for the benefit of the agenda before us, number 7, the tourism strategy draft, we're going to defer that to next month to give people a further opportunity to look at it and digest what's in it. And we'll come back and discuss that at next month's meeting. Okay, so then we move on to number 2, declarations of interest.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, we can't hear from the chamber.
Just for this system, folks, just bear with us tonight because it'll be 11 for first off. You're now, Sarah?
Yeah, that's you now.
Right, so you're in.
Yeah. In regards to service level agreements, possible conflict in regards to I work for Moore and Harris Trust, but I'm not coming from that budget. Declared on.
Okay, thanks. Councillor Hanna then?
Chair, I'm on the board of Moore and Harris Trust, so would I need to declare number 2?
I think so, yeah.
That's okay, yep. Chair.
Yeah.
King. Well, you need to turn your mic.
Yeah, folks, just turn your mic off as you're finished with it. Councillor King then?
Yeah, Chair, I was just asking for a bit of clarity. I sit on the Peace Plus form, so it was just to see if it is best for myself to be here during that item.
It's okay.
Is that okay? Yeah, 100%.
Same.
Just for clarity. They don't.
Okay. Then move on to item number 3, which is the action sheet from the 12th of February 24. And you have the papers before you. Is anybody any item they'd like to raise? I don't see anything. Can we have a proposer and a seconder for that? If you want to just raise your hand to make the proposal. Glenn was in first and Philip in second. I propose and second it. Okay. Then we move to item 4, which was the notice of motion regarding peatlands at a previous meeting. And Connor's going to take us through this item.
Chair, we've produced a report in response to the notice of motion which was proposed by Councillor Truesdale and deferred to ERT in February. The report sets out some of the key work that's ongoing in respect of peatland restoration, both through Peace Plus and through the Shared Island Unit. And I've set out in the report some of the issues around the use of peat and the peat usage within the council and some of the previous trials around alternatives to peat. The recommendation in the report is that the council continues to advance projects in partnership working through the AONB and Geopark team in respect of the protection of peatland through both Peace Plus and Shared Island. and the council continues to consider the use of alternatives to peat-based projects and works to reduce the use of peat-based composts. So,
Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very grateful for all the information in the papers. It really gives a good positive synopsis of all the good work that's currently going on in the district. So, to me, it's not a big stretch for the council to up its green credentials and take that final step to go peat-free. I know you had said about tonnes. I had asked the information and I was given it in pallets. So last year, council purchased one pallet of peat-based potting compost, which is 40% peat-based for the whole district. That's in comparison in 2019 when four pallets were purchased. So we're down to one. So that's to be commended. And, you know, it is possible to go that extra, to get rid of that extra one. So why are peatlands important? Very quickly, they provide essential ecosystem services, regulate the water cycle, purify water, support a wealth of biodiversity, but most importantly, a 2 metre deep active peatland will store approximately 8,000 tonnes of carbon per hectare, locking away a further 0.7 tonnes of carbon per hectare every year. So peatlands store more carbon for longer periods than any other ecosystem worldwide. And bringing it down to a local level, within the National Trust Zone in the Mourns, there are 22 hectares of deep peat. So certain plants that like an acidic soil do not necessarily need peat-based products. As if that was the case, you'd only see those plants around peat bogs. But why put plants that do not grow naturally in an area in a false environment? Everybody is supposed to plant according to their soil type. So, for example, in my road, every garden has azaleas and camellias. I don't use peat. And further back from me on the lower slopes of Donard Forest and Tullymore, it's covered in rhododendrons, all acidic livers. Half a mile east from me, you can't grow those sort of plants because the soil is sandy, so their gardens are different. So I feel that it's coming down to two choices. Either plant according to the soil type and stop using peat to create an unnatural environment, or utilise the community gardens we have in our district. I only know Newcastle and Kilkeel. There may be one on the Newry side I don't know about with community gardens. And give them the task of coming up with a peat alternative on a small scale in conjunction with the council, using a portion of the money that council currently spends on peat. So that's just, I'm just throwing that out there. That it would be a great community-based project, bringing positive publicity to the community gardens and the council working in conjunction together to come up with a peat-based alternative. So I'd like also, if it's possible, to have a report brought back, say, in 6 months of the alternatives that there have been trials and what sort of products are you finding success with in an alternative peat-free. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Just Chair, so in respect of the proposal, it's to bring a report back in 6 months' time on the workers we carried out just to consider alternatives.
And I have a proposal. Are you proposing? No. Okay, I proposed Jill and second it, Andy. Nobody else have any comments?
Right.
Will I?
Chair, I'm happy enough the motion that, the substance of the motion. It's just a paragraph in regards to it calls, on the DR Minister to conduct a review, call where, I think we need to have it more succinct. Jill? If I get the motion up. Yeah. Are you sure?
The motion doesn't mention the writing to the DR Minister.
Maybe I'm making it up.
We'll come back to you, Willie, and we'll go with Andy.
Go ahead,
You turn off your red light there, Willie. Go ahead, Andy.
No.
In relation to sort of probably doing a slightly smaller scale than what the council does, but like I can source peat-free compost whenever I, pot on plants and stuff like that. So, there are viable alternatives out there. Now, what the industrial requirements are, I don't know. My little green fingers are probably not necessarily the same as what the council requires, but there are there are, you know, alternatives out there. And yeah, no, just to throw that point out there, Chair, thank you.
Okay. Well, are you any wiser?
Cheers, Chair, for your indulgence. No, I don't see it now, but I could have swore I read it last week. Sir. But anyway, it's just me. No, I'm not. But I think what I'm calling, we write to the dear minister, asking that his department conduct a review and publish a key issues paper on peat extraction and the use of peat and peat products in line with the executive's peat land strategy.
I'll
send it over to you. You're all happy. Maybe just say a few words. It's the proposal has already outlined. Peatlands are vital in long term carbon storage and form a carbon sink in our uplands, particularly our uplands. In Ireland alone, they store more than 53% of soil carbon, despite taking up just 16% of the land mass. Peatlands are also environmentally important for their unique biodiversity, playing host to a wide and varying range of flora and fauna. They are also recognised as an integral part of the cultural landscape in rural areas, where they have been a productive resource as well as an environmental resource. Protecting our peatlands requires a strategy based on just transition principles, which balances the social, economic, ecological and environmental needs of rural communities. I'm aware of a number of organisations, you know, are involved in restoring peatlands. I work at it myself in the uplands. MHT, you have National Trust, Ulster Wildlife, and you have the councils coming together in regards to the big peace sort of proposal to take a considerable resource into the area, you know, to ensure that we do cover all our peatlands in the north overall. So I'm confident in regards to, you know, the restoring the peatlands. I think we are on the right track. I think we're a bit behind because of obviously the situation with the Assembly been down and that. But I'm happy enough with the proposal Jill has made in regards to we have to keep check on our use of peat moving forward. So I'm happy with that aspect of it.
Thanks very much. I'll just be brief. We're happy enough to support the motion and the recommendations from the previous speakers and to proceed with the recommendations as outlined in point 3 of the paper. So we're happy enough to support what the points have been raised, and we welcome the motion in general. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Terry. That's that item dealt with then. I think everybody spoke on it. Willie, will you email that through to Democratic Services, please? Okay, then we move on to item number 5, and that's the artisan markets. And Eavine's going to pick this item.
Thank you, Chair. So as you'll be aware, Council operates 4 artisan markets, Newcastle, Newry, Downpatrick and Warren Point, from March through December each year. The highest attendance figures for Newry that I bring your attention to for the financial year was 2,586. On an average, they get between 400 and 500 people in attendance. Newry Artisan Market has experienced a dip in trader attendance of approximately 22.5% from 22 to 23 to 23 to 24, and officers have conducted a survey with the traders throughout all of the district to monitor activity and receive feedback. So key findings from the feedback is 90% of traders attending the Newry Artisan Market expressed an interest in trade at twilight markets. 17% expressed an interest in attending the variety market, and 50% expressed an interest in attending any type of event taking place in Newry. And also the traders expressed an interest in trading to 4 p.m. during the summer hours. So the recommendations being brought forward in this paper is to for officers to work with the Tourism, Culture and Events Department to identify opportunities for Newry Artisan Market, to offer the Artisan Market traders a pitch at the Newry Variety Market, extend the trading hours of the markets in July and August at 4 p.m. and then to note the attendance figures at Newry Artisan Market.
Yeah. Jamie. First one up is Councillor Kearns. The right hand side.
Too late.
You're out, Geraldine. I'm going to have to go back on myself. Can everybody else switch off?
Switch off.
I know. Yeah.
Sorry. Not there yet. Okay, thank you. We in Sinn Féin feel our market is yet to realise its full potential. The market requires support and sustainable promotion to breathe new life into it and to help it contribute to the local economy. Yeah, this is me.
Yes, sorry, Chair. I have a couple of questions for.
Yes, thank you. Folks, if you press a question, leave your face. Whatever was it? Ian Glynn, excuse me, I'm not in this room. Switch off for a couple of seconds. That's you, you're in front
of. That's me? Yeah. No, sorry, it's just a question, just regards. So I was looking at the statistics there, and I've seen a significant drop off there in July. Is there any reasoning behind that, or?
Weather.
Weather? It was weather, okay.
It was gross.
Hmm?
You follow?
Yeah, that's me. Thanks, sir.
And you're in next.
Thanks, Chair. Just to ask, these artists on markets now are going for a number of years. It's costing us approximately £5,500 the council subsidises about each year. I'm just looking at Newcastle in particular, though. There's not that big a tendency of more theatres on it there. How much is a theatre actually paid to be there on the day?
£30.
£30, so it just about covers itself and no more then. Okay. Thanks, Chair.
Just want to know if any support can be given by Council for Val na Hinch's market. These four markets plus Val na Hinch all were set up in the 17th century, and it would be quite nice if the Council could support all five of our 17th century entire markets. Yeah, if I could propose that.
I'll sign it, Chair.
I'll get back to you on that. Okay.
Carries in next, but is everybody in agreement with that extra proposal there from Mr. Bowsey and Mr. Hannah? Yeah.
Good on.
Okay, Terry, away you go.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. And I wholeheartedly endorse what Councillor Bowsey said about Val na Hinch. It's been a market town since 1683, so it would be good to see any efforts.
I do welcome the report and figures that indicate that the car of the council any plans come for some balance, I think these marks seems balance and next cross bar and other similar locations that we have on.
Thanks, Chair. Just to say the artists and markets have been a huge success. I'd like to pay tribute to everybody involved. Particularly the businesses as well who have, you know, maybe the numbers haven't been that great, but they've stayed with it. I'm aware of at least a couple of businesses who have now made the transition into permanent properties. You know, they've moved into shops on our high streets. So I guess to be welcome. I like the increase. I can only really talk about Newcastle because it's the one I really see. But there's always a great buzz about it. You know, a great atmosphere, and we discussed about you know other areas. You know, if we could have like Christmas type markets. You know, you maybe could trial the ones we're talking about there. You maybe could trial it over that period. You know, like a Christmas market or something like that. But no, I think it's been a really major success. And just ask in regards to the Newcastle market. Obviously, there's investment. Coming 200,000 for the open space at the back of the Leisure Centre. The artist market, the ideal place in that market, you know, even more permanent structures, so it could be used more frequently. And just if the officer could check that out. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I was looking there. I was trying to find if there was a there's an artisan market trader survey. Was there a customer survey done as well?
No, just with the traders.
It's just that I would know quite a lot of the traders because we started a market in Newcastle, an indoor market in Newcastle, so I still have a lot of connections with a lot of the traders. And one of the things that traders have been telling me is it's really hard to get in to the Newcastle market. The Newcastle one would be the one that would be most relevant to me, so that's really what I can speak to. It's quite hard to get the rotation going with the different types of traders. It's quite hard to break in to... I know they fill out an application form and it's decided upon that way, but it's just to have more variety. Is that something that you could pass on, or is that something that the person who runs the market would have the final say on?
There's only 17 pitches in Newcastle because of obviously it's in front of the Newcastle Centre, you know, and you're limited to within the curb. So we can only have 17 pitches. And what happens is whenever the invitation goes out and people respond, and then additional invitations go out. But what you do find is the regulars keep coming back to Newcastle. But we do try and monitor the type of craft producers that we have. So, for example, limited to two or three, artists. You know, two or three food suppliers, etc.
Yeah.
But that's something we can take on board.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I just had a question around the survey findings. Are you able to give us an insight into what sort of work has been done to follow up on those expressions of interest for return trading?
Can you maybe expand on your question?
So 90% of respondents at the artisan market expressed an interest in trading at the twilight markets, 50% at events and festivals, and 17% at the variety market. It's obviously great to have that interest. What work is council doing to harness that and to ensure that there are?
Well, one of the recommendations in this report is to work with tourism markets and culture in relation to developing the further offering of markets within events within Newry. So that was on the back of the survey treaty, but also too on the back of, if you note, within Newry, the highest figures attending the Newry market was the October, which was the Halloween festival, which happened obviously at night time. It's a family friendly event, and there was other activity taking place up in Marcus Square, so the two worked well together. So, you know, taking the key findings from that stat, working with the traders and identifying that there's the potential, instead of trading on a monthly basis on a Sunday, that they actually would go to a Thursday and a Saturday trade. And then if we're able to work with tourism, arts and culture in relation to supporting of more events, like the family-friendly events that increase the footfall into the town.
Okay, the reason I ask is just because obviously it's great to have that interest, but I would imagine that those traders would have to be continuously engaged to keep that interest peaked. So that's the point of clarification I was looking for. Thank you.
Councillor Hannah.
Yeah, not many again, Chair.
Have you spoken this already?
I've already spoken this.
Well, go ahead this time only.
That's very good.
Let's go.
Come on. See,
your own colleague doesn't want me to let you in again.
Getting barriers, it is. But, Chair, all I'm going to ask is this, Chair. I assume most of these are gazebos and stuff like that. Does that belong to ERT? Or is it just belong to the council in general? Because I know I've seen some of them not in that good a shape now, so I'm just wondering who often if you need them, because if they're going up and down, fair enough, it's the council staff or somebody that's putting them up and down, they can watch their fingers, but I've seen them having that very quick.
Okay, well, in Newry, with no gazebos, obviously it's undercover. In Warren Point, there's approximately 30 gazebos stored in Warren Point Municipal Park, and they are looked after by the delivery agent. And then also in Downpatrick, there's about 17 gazebos, and in Newcastle, there's about 19 gazebos. So, yes, some of them do need replaced, and that's what we're working on at the moment. Some of the equipment needs replaced, and we're working on that at the moment as well.
Connor's just going to finish off.
Just for members, members are aware that there was a notice of motion tabled last week in respect of markets in Newry, and it's been referred to S&E committee, which is looking at revitalising Newry market as well. So that's another opportunity to have a discussion around the revitalisation of Newry market. I just thought it was important that You're aware of that. And just to summarise, the additional proposal is that we will take away and look at the possibility or the potential for expanding artisan markets to other town centres across the district, if members are happy that that is the proposal.
All agreed?
Yes. Yeah. So, are we happy with
all agreed
proposal?
Then? Yeah. Okay. We'll move on then to item number 6, and that's Peace Plus. Sonia is going to take us through this.
Members, we had previously submitted our Peace Plus application back in September. However, SUPB changed their guidance in terms of the capital element of our programme and wanted us to name the projects that were included. So, in line with that new guidance, we had to go out for an expression of interest. That went out in January, closed in February. We aligned it closely to Council's financial assistance process because that is something that the community is familiar with, and for ease of application process. You can see there in your papers a summary of the two themes, which within the £7.8 million action plan total about £1.7 million. That includes the capital element, plus it also includes some engagement work and PR for the groups as well. So it's just to let members see that we have the two themes. One was for indoor space and one was for outdoor space. And we have 11 under theme 1 with 6 reserve and 14 under theme 2 with 3 reserve. So that is just an update on where we're at. The plan is due to be submitted on the 28th of March again, and we are hoping for a letter of offer later on this year, but it will be subject to SUPB's time frame.
Thanks, Sonia. Councillor
Bowsey. Thank you. As a Rowallan councillor, I have major concerns with this. So if I've counted correctly, out of 34 applicants that have been successful, one is from Rowallan, which represents one out of 7 DAs. For me, even in the last couple of weeks, it's just a major theme here with Rowallan missing out. Last week I talked about the events, 1 and 0 out of 10 major and council events. SLAs for community halls, none out of 20 odd. This week we have the sports award, 30 nominations, none from Rowallan. And it's not as if there's a lack of applications. There are certainly less, but there are applications there. There are good ones. Sports Award had a club that was third in the world this year, European champions. District people that received little more than district success got selected. 12 out of 30 from Newry, none in Rowallan. And so there's a theme here. If there's less applicants coming forward from Rowallan, I think the council needs to address that, and what's it doing to try and deal with that perception? Because I'm not certainly saying that there's any bias. I'm saying there's a problem with people from Rowallan coming forward, and the council needs to encourage people. And I would perhaps make a proposal that the deadline's the 28th of March, I believe. Can the council work with those applicants from Rowallan that maybe just missed out and try and make their applications a bit better? Because you know, this is a major opportunity for investment in underfunded communities, and this is Peace Plus funding, 70% British government money. It's major money, 6 figures. And when I see it as a Rowallan councillor, I can't have the mantra of Rowallan being underfunded and support a list where there's 1 out of 34 for Rowallan. And you look at the success rate, Rowallan has, you know, in that outdoor theme, there's 30%. Success rate of the applicants, and in Crockleigh, 6 out of 6 have been selected. That's 100% success rate, even in terms of proportionality. So I would make that a proposal that the council works to bring Rowallan's figures up, because no way could I support 1 out of 34.
Unfortunately, at this stage, this was an open process that we undertook. We carried out workshops. We take on board what you're saying in terms of Rowan and understand that in that area there is it is transpiring to be a capacity issue within the area. However, in terms of this process, as with the other processes we've had, they are open for applications, and we carry out workshops and we work with the DA coordinators to try and ensure the information is put out and support is provided to communities across the district. At this stage, we wouldn't have the time to reopen this process again to follow up properly and to be fair to everybody across the district, because there were some other areas where I suppose we could have had larger numbers of applications from also. Though what we will proactively do throughout the delivery of the peace plan, given our understanding, especially of capacity issues there, is that we, you know, we'll take a targeted approach to Rowan in terms of capacity building, and hopefully that will help with future applications, not just for peace, but also across other potential funding or programmes across the district.
Councillor Campbell.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just a couple of things. First of all, it's good to see the money coming into the Nurrie Morning Down to support projects like this. But it's just a wee bit of clarity over the breakdown of the applications that were successful. In terms of reserves, there's not a breakdown actually within the process there to say which per area are on the reserve list. For example, you have 6 in reserve list and 5 of them in that Downpatrick area. Can you provide that information? I know we can't say who the successful applicants are until later down in the process, but in terms of actually finding out who's on the reserve list as well in that breakdown, can you give us that information?
Sorry, just to clarify, in the appendices we have, I'm just looking here, there's 3, the bottom 3 on the reserve list, group number 6, 16 and 17,
mm-hmm.
Are marked as being on the reserve list. And is that the information you're looking for?
No, if you look at your pie charts in the bottom right-hand corner on the appendices, you say application selected by project delivery area.
Right, yeah.
So you have that as 17, and if you look at your selected, which is 11, and your reserve list, 6, which within those selected areas are actually on the reserve list. So you can see there's 6 in reserve list. That could be 6 in one specific DEA. Can you just have a bit of clarity on what's on the reserve list?
Yes, in terms of areas? I'll get the officers to write that right now.
Thank you.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And Sonia, thank you very much for the commitment that you've given in relation to Rowan and especially other areas as well in regards to the points that was raised by Councillor Bowsey. But overall, as chairperson of the partnership in Nurrie Morning Down, I'm fully supportive of what has been outlined in the papers and attachments in this agenda item. And I'm happy to support the recommendations that you've outlined. But I'd also like to thank the staff and yourselves and the team for all the hard work and help and support in getting to where we are today. So just as chair of that organisation, I just want to convey my heartfelt appreciation for all the work that you do. So the district are the winners out of this, all being well.
Thanks, Terry. Councillor Bowsey, you made a proposal. Are you happy enough to accept what Sonia said in relation to you can't stop the process, but there will be a targeted approach for that DEA?
I can't support this list.
Okay. Are you still making that a proposal then? Yeah. And Glenn, you're seconding it?
Yep.
Okay. Have we a proposal then for the officer's recommendation? Councillor Campbell, have we a seconder for the
proposal first?
Chair, you need to take Councillor Bowsey's proposal first.
Okay. Is a show of hands sufficient? Councillor, I'm asking you, Councillor Bowsey, are you happy with the show of hands? Yeah. So, Councillor Bowsey's proposal is seconded by Councillor Hannah. Have we those in favour? 3. Okay. And those against? And abstentions? Yeah, then.
Sorry, Chair, just for the recording, how many were against and how many abstentions?
An extension.
That was 3-4, 7 against, and 1 abstention. Okay, sorry, did you get that?
Yeah, that's fine, thanks.
Okay, then the recommendation that's before us, are we a proposer for it, first of all? Councillor? It's already proposed, sorry. And those, show of hands again, those in favour of the proposal? Well, you're too late. You,
Nine.
And those against? And abstentions?
You're against.
Yeah. Councillor Bowser, you're against too then, yeah?
Two against.
And Councillor Payne, are you abstaining again?
No, he's fine.
Oh, you voted for it, right. We got that then, yeah? Okay. Then, as we discussed at the start of the meeting, the tourism strategy draft will come back to our April meeting. And then, to those sessions. So, items 8 to 13 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may be by resolution be excluded during these items of business. And have a proposer and a seconder to win the committee, Mr. Campbell and
Councillor Andrews.
Okay, and then we move to item number 8. Sorry. Where's the names? So, item 8, artisan residence and arch bursary schemes. On the proposal of Councillor Quinn, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to appoint an artisan residence and establish a service level agreement as detailed in the officer's report for the delivery of an artisan residence programme in the Down Arts Centre. It was also agreed to continue to award the artist bursaries and individual artist grants through a selection process for 24-25. It was also agreed that officers would review the hours of opening within the Down Arts Centre to potentially include Saturday opening hours. Item 9, Labour Market Partnership Action Plan. On the proposal of Councillor Quinn, seconded by Councillor Andrews, the following was agreed. To note that the Council have prepared and submitted a strategic assessment and action plan to DFC for the implementation of a programme for employability and skills initiatives across the district 24-25. When received, to approve acceptance of DFC letter of offer for NMD LMP skills and employability activities to include administration and operational costs as set out section 2.2 of the officer's report. To approve the attached business case for the implementation of the LMP action plan 24-25. Acceptance of the letter of offer, Council will include procurement, including SLAs, to appoint delivery agents to implement a range of initiatives outlined in the attached business case. Item 10, service level agreements, letter of offer. On the proposal of Councillor Campbell, seconded by Councillor Cairns, it was agreed to consider and approve the list of service level agreements, letters of offers for 24-25, as detailed in section 2.1 of the officer's report. Item 11, Tourism Events Programme. On the proposal of Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Hannah, the following was agreed: to approve the annual Tourism Events Programme as detailed in Appendix 1, to approve the undertaking of the necessary procurements and appointments of suppliers for the delivery of major festivals in the annual Tourism Events Programme, to approve to issue 4 letters of offer to name groups as detailed in the report, to undertake a review of event programme options for 24-26 financial year. Or 25-26, sorry. Item 12, Tourism Events Procurement. On the proposal of Councillor Cairns, seconded by Councillor Clark, it was agreed to note the 2 STAs as outlined in section 2.1 of the officer's report. On item 13, Down GAA Support for Peace Plus application. On the proposal of Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor Campbell, the following was agreed. Officers continue to consider all options for the future of the hut structure in advance of the March 25 and will report back to members that the contents of the Ballykilner hut will be retained by Council for use in future exhibitions at suitable locations. Councillor notes the application for the Down County Board multi-sports hub at Ballykilner site through financial assistance. Unfortunately, Council are not in a position to provide support to Down County Board for their application to Peace Plus Centre of Participation Wellbeing and Shared Learning Hub, as it is in direct competition with our Wellbeing Hub in Morton Point. Thank you, Councillors. Meeting's at an end. Thank you.